Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministry. So glad to be presenting this message tonight. Maybe you are new listening to this podcast, or maybe you have been listening for a while, and praise God for that. This Wake Up America Church Ministry was just birthed out of the Holy Spirit pulling me to birth this. Because many of the churches in America do not want to hear true messages, although they claim they do. There is a huge deception. A huge deception. And many are blind. And this calls to the American church to wake up from its lukewarmness, from its indifference, to look at the scriptures, the whole content of the Bible, not just pieces, and making their own religion out of it. Taking scriptures and distorting them, saying that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. No, the Bible does not say that nowhere. These are cults. They're cultish practice. We need to cling to the Word of God and what's true and what does the Word of God tell us. And I preached many messages on salvation, and last week I preached a message on salvation. Was not even planning to preach a message on salvation, but the Holy Spirit just birthed that through me to speak. So I guess that would have been kind of the intro to Psalm 3. That was the objective. We're going through Psalms, and it's a slow process because there's a lot going on. Broke down Psalms 1 into like two parts, Psalms 2 and 3 parts, and I guess this is the second part of Psalms 3. We'll see how far we get tonight. See where the Holy Spirit leads us in this Psalm. So let's read through this Psalm 3, 1 through 8. And that's Psalms 3, 1 through 8. It's a David Psalm. Lord, how art thou increased? Thou trouble me. Mean are they that rise up against me. Mean there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Shallah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cry unto the Lord my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Shallah. I lay me down and sleep, I awake for the Lord to sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smit all my enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people, Shallah. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go through this psalm tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit is all over this. I pray whoever's out there is listening to this, if it's just one person, if it changes their life, glory and honor goes to you, the King Almighty. I'm just a humble servant. I have to decrease so you can increase. Let my voice be heard as your voice. And don't let my name be remembered, but your name. Oh, my pride, I drop it on the ground. Oh, my heart is broken and of the things I see in this world. All the misguided lives. Oh, how the churches in America has failed. Are falling. Buying on sensation. Seeking experience. Instead of being solid and founded on the Word of God. The Scriptures should come first. The Scriptures should be our light. The Scriptures should speak. And then the experience. Lord, I pray. You know my heart is heavy. You know what I've encountered today. A group of people that I encountered today. Oh, they're so lost. They're so misguided. I lay them at the cross, Lord. I don't hate. My heart is just hurting for them. They think they're making a difference. They think they're developing something new. But it's the same movement that's been going on. And what you're seeing still, America, is declining. Declining and reaching out to you. Declining to turn back from, to turn from their wicked ways to a holy and righteous God. Oh, how we yearn to come home and cut on the TV. Oh, how we celebrate these demonic movies. Oh, how we let our kids watch Disney. Oh, Disney's wicked. But we glorify it. Oh, how we glorify Marvel. Oh, how we rave about these heroes and their demonic in nature and that they are declining our walk with you. Oh, how we see our little eyes will affect the way we walk with God. We should guard our heart. And first thing to guard our heart is to watch what we watch on TV. Oh, how we're just letting the TV rule. Oh, how we're not yearning to study the scriptures. Oh, how we're not praying for hours or so, dwelling on our knees and broken before you, God. Break us. Humble us. Shake those that are not following you. Wake those that are blinded. Shake them till they see the truth. Do whatever you have to do in their life to bring them to the truth of the gospel. Lord, I pray they're awakened. Maybe it's the fall of America. Maybe China will take over. Maybe Russia will take over. Maybe that will what it will need to take for America to be ripped of its title, be put under a government that beats their Christians, that kills their Christians, until we get the point of this hype Christianity. Oh, do what you will, Lord. Your will be done, not ours. Let us walk in the path that you have us. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. So Psalms 3:1-8. Now, when we look at this psalm and, of course, the next few psalms, we need to take an account. I've already talked about this several times. We need to take an account. These psalms are speaking of a time in David's life, but they also have application to us today. That's what's beautiful. Meaning that these psalms go beyond David's life and it should penetrate our lives. A well-known, all right, I don't really know, but one, I don't, commentaries are what they are. There's a, you got so many. Vernon McGee, he's passed, MCGREE. I really like his commentaries. I got pretty much all of them. He's pretty solid. He says this: trials and sorrows are shared by all godly people, regardless of who they are or in what period of history they live. The comfort gives in Psalms, in this psalm and the next few psalms that we'll be going through, is for all of God's people. And I've talked last week about this psalm. This is referring, of course, to time in David's life. He had to flee from Absalom. That was his son, one of his sons. You can find the historical accurate story in 2 Samuel chapter 15-18. Encourage you guys to read that. Simply put, David allowed sins in his life, and he was experiencing the consequence of sin. And Never think that you will not experience the consequence of a sin or sins. Yes, God will forgive you, but the consequence of sins can still follow you. And in the last week, we got really into this. For example, if you commit adultery, that is cheating on your significant other, your wife, your husband, and maybe you get that person, if you're a guy, get the girl pregnant, and you can lose your marriage, and then you have to deal with a child out of wedlock, unless you divorce your wife, and then that just is. See how it compounds? Sin's ugly. Never don't think sin is not ugly. One of the great deception that we allow Satan to mask sin to make it look beautiful as the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve. That story just, it really rivets my heart when I read it. And of course, just the creation, God creating a beautiful world, a perfect world, and creating Adam, and then of course Eve, and they were only given one commandment, not to eat of a tree, and they ate of that tree. Eve, Adam were both responsible, but Eve was initially the one that went into conversation with Satan, and he was able to deceive her. He made sin look beautiful, and you know what? It still does. And sin in the church is sad. How sin is glorified. You start talking about Disney and all these other Marvel, and people start rolling their eyeballs. They don't want to hear it because why? Because they're very comfortable in their sin. And when you're comfortable in your sin, you don't see the truth because the devil blinds you. Of course, sin should lead to conviction. And it's not my opinion. And last week, we looked at a number of sins, and witchcraft being one of them. And witchcraft is really simple. You can go to the dictionary, look at witchcraft. And then, okay, when I'm watching a movie and they're chanting spells, like in Frozen, or are chanting spirits, that's witchcraft. To me, it's really that simple, but obviously it's not, because many people are blind. Sin is ugly. Would David sin or sins was, and he was facing the consequence of his sin was, of course, with Bathsheba and forcing her to have sex with him. Getting her pregnant and then trying to hide it. And when that didn't work, he had her husband killed so he could have her. That's pretty intense. God forgave him, of course, but he had to feel the weight of that choice. It's heavy. When we look at verse 1 through 2, you can really see the weight of that. Lord, how art thou increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which of my soul. There is no help for him in God. Shallah. His own son wanted him dead. And the people that were watching from a distance, they looked at David and said, he's beyond God's help. You see, Absalom, he was very attractive man, probably very political, and like any good politician, he made promises to those who would join him in rebellion against his father, and they will reap greatly. Same kind of today when you look at the political realm, a lot of backdoor deals being done and that we probably won't ever be aware of to promise big financial gains. If they would vote this way or pass this bill through this way, it happens. Absalom had this kind of spirit about him. And David had to flee Jerusalem. David had become an outcast, a fugitive from his own city. If not, they would have lost his life. And the thing is, David did not want Absalom, his son, to lose his life because David understood there is consequence to sin. 2 Samuel 12:11 says, Nathan told David, Thus said the Lord, behold, I raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and will take thy wives for thy eye, and give unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with the wives inside of this son. What a, that's intense. Just feel that. Man, if we just read the word of God and heed the warnings, there's everything in the Bible that we need. Guidance, advice. We can look at historical accurate people like David and read their life, and this is what he did wrong. We would be very cautious on how we live our Christian life out in that world. You have this movement of progressive Christianity. You got these progressive Christian pastors, teachers, evangelists that will tell you that you can live your sin and be happy. I won't tell you, if you're a child of God, you cannot live in your sin and be happy. It will drive you to repentance. It did with David. But never don't think because you're forgiven that you will not suffer the consequence of that sin. It's not my opinion. It's when we look at the Word of God, David is just one example of many. So we should be very cautious. Recognize. We don't have to scratch our head and try to figure out what sin is. Last week, and now I've preached numerous times on sin. You don't have to scratch your head. You can go Galatians 5. You can look at every word. You can go over in Revelation, the last part. It says about liars and murderers and whoremongers. And you can go through all that. You can look up in the dictionary and say, well, do I have this in my life? Do I have this in my life? Lord, let me walk less in the flesh and more in the spirit. That should be our cry. Lord, let my love be your love. Let my long suffering be your long suffering. Let my goodness be your goodness. Let my gentleness be your gentleness. Let my meekness be your meekness, your temperance, Lord. All the joy and the peace, let it be yours. Lord, let that faith, the faith, not a distorted faith that this prosperity gospel has that's infiltrated the church, but a faith that is solid on the rock, knowing that it's not because of anything we have done, it's all what you have done, right? We still have the power through you, but it's not that our name should be glorified. What you're seeing is many people are trying to glorify their name. When something big happened, they're boasting and people are praising them on, and they're accepting that your fall will come. It will come, I promise you. Hopefully it's not beyond repair, in a sense that, of course, God's going to forgive you, but your ministry could be destroyed. Look at Samson. It's sad. When you look at Samson, he didn't have a full ministry. He let sin destroy his ministry. I've seen from my personal life, I've seen some really close friends of mine now gone. Strong ministries. They let sin come in their life. And they try to hide it. It destroys their ministries and some in their life. I'm not one of those preachers out there that haven't experienced things that will rock you. Beware of the young kids today or ones running around claiming to have something new. There's nothing new under the sun. We're just all messengers of God, and some of us are false. Some of us are just ignorant because we have not studied the way we should. But thank God for His grace and mercy. It endures forever. And there will be teachable moments. I still have teachable moments. I think we will all have teachable moments to the very end. end of our life, or when Jesus comes back. You see, the Word of God is truth. Is absolute truth. It's the only thing that matters. The Word of God is final. The Word of God should not, we should not depend on our experience and our feelings over the Word of God. The Word of God should be the final authority. If you're taking your experience, you're taking your hyperness, charismatic hyperness, and you're trumping the Word of God, you're violating Scripture, you're operating in a different spirit as people were slain in the Old Testament, were messing with strange fire. You will face the consequence of that behavior. The Word of God has the final authority. But you see, today you have the Joel Osteens of the world telling you otherwise. That's popular. Fastest growing, well, I'll say Steve Furtick, he's pretty popular and he's growing faster than Joel Osteen. You see, they're heaping these people, or people are heaping these false teachers. And that's on a big level. But here in Leesville, Louisiana, you guys can private message me, and I will give you quite a few here in Leesville. They're not preaching the truth. They're small scale like Joel Osteen, just not recognized because they're small scale. They wish they were small, bigger, and if they could, they would, because they love the money more than they love the Word of God. That's what they use, the experience, the sensation, to bring people into the door instead of using the Word of God. See, the Word of God should never, the Word of God trumps experience. The Word of God trumps sensation seeking. The Word of God trumps our feelings. The Word of God should make us feel uncomfortable. We're supposed to feel uncomfortable. We should not feel comfortable in this world. You're feeling comfortable in this world. You have issues. We are never supposed to be uncomfortable. We are supposed to, when we leave those doors, we are supposed to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Meaning we are supposed to reach that world with Jesus. And it can be through the Word, or it could be through our acts. I'll tell you, a week ago, Friday, getting off work, had to get a haircut, and I was driving, and seen this lady, and she was just at this traffic light. She was pregnant. She had a sign saying she was hungry, and I seen my heart was, and then I just pulled over and watched all the cars pass her. Hundreds. Now, Leesville's supposed to be a Christian, hyper-Christian, I guess, area. Hundreds of cars pass this lady, not blinking an eye. Don't tell me there is something not wrong on that small scale there. I had to go over there and see her and offer comfort. And, you know, that's between me and God. But that's the thing that rocks me to my core. It's like, what is going on with people? They say amen on Sunday, they speak tongues on Sunday, they laying on the floor on Sundays or whatever, and then they walk out the doors and they are not changed. It's all an act. Maybe some are genuine, maybe not. Knowing growing up in that movement, I was guilty of it. I'd done a lot of things when I was a kid just to showboat it, to make myself look hyper holy than others. And it's worse now than it was then. I'm not saying this to be mean. It just breaks my heart. And I pray that everybody, when they walk out them churches, they are energized and they are fully committed to God in their workplace and schools. That the educators in our schools are proclaiming the gospel All you teachers, are you proclaiming the gospel in your school? Oh no. We may lose our job. Compromise your Christianity. And then you're wondering why America is falling apart. It's because of lukewarmness and indifference. Yeah, this message is hard. I won't make a lot of friends. But the thing is, if one person hears this and it changes their life, it changes the projection of what they're living. That's all that matters. And of course, once again, it's not me. It is Jesus. All Jesus. It's really simple as we look at the message. Is heaven or hell, right? Truth or a lie? God or Satan? You see, the churches in America, they have dropped the ball on preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. They tell you that you can live a life in sin and be okay. They'll tell you that you don't have to make, when you walk out them doors, you do not have to make a difference in the sense you don't have to reach people, you don't have to be a disciple. See, we all struggle with sin. It's flesh. But we should not be okay with that. Sin breaks God's heart. It should break our hearts. And He will punish our sin because He is holy. There is consequence of sin. Thank God for conviction and chastisement of the Holy Spirit, right? And David here was experiencing that. Listen to that verse, verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are that rise up against me. Many rise up against me. They increase the trouble. They look at me and they say, many there be say, my soul, there is no help in God. Shallah. Man, we hear this word, Shallah. And it's used about 70 times in Psalms. And if you haven't really looked at that word or the definition, I found this definition of it. Vernon quotes this: I believe the Psalms were set to music, to play by an orchestra, sung by a great choir. I'm sure that Jerusalem became famous throughout the world, and people came from near and far to hear the music and the singing of these Psalms. I think Shallah was probably a musical rest, a musical pause for the common layman who does not understand much about music. It means stop, look, and listen. Man, there's a message in that, right? Stop, look, and listen. And you'll see this word a lot in the Psalms, and I encourage you as we go through this preaching series, and you see that word Shallah. We want to stop, look, and listen. That's what we've been doing with them first few verses. We're stopping and we're looking at David, and we're looking at why is this happening to him, and we're looking at his sin, and we're listening to his travail, his repentance. You know, we get so busy with life, and busy is what I heard a person say a long time ago, and I preached a few sermons on it, is being under Satan's yoke. Being you under Satan's yoke. And a yoke is something that's a weight on you. It's hard. It bears you down. It distracts you from the most important direction you need in your life. Satan wants to keep you busy. This is not new. Maybe it's new to you. Maybe your first time you're hearing that, grasp that, busy. Are you busy? Do you say, well, I should pray more, but I really need to go do this. And I should stop here during the day and pray and read my Bible, but you know what? I really have to go do this. And I really have to go do that. And, you know, I get home and, you know, I really need to read my Bible and really need to pray, but you know, I need to go do this instead. Busy. I believe it's one of the probably biggest distraction or biggest, block in America is the busy life. You may be of a few that can give God a few minutes of your time in the morning and some throughout the day or night. You know, I've read this in an article. I do a lot of reading. It said that an average pastor in America, I read a lot of studies, and then I sit there, I watch other, you see other people proclaiming things, and you're like, well, this study is saying, and these are replicable studies, like Barn Group and Research, a Christian research institution. These guys are getting to the truth of the matter. And these are not ideal, these are not fake studies, these are not studies idly done to project a negative. It's supposed to shed lights, but it said a pastor in America prays about 7 minutes a day. 7 minutes a day. And I know most pastors won't even talk to me anymore when I ask them, how is your prayer life? And of course, I have pretty much a master's in psychology, and then on top of that, I have the spirit of discernment, which is missing in about 90% or more of the churches, a spiritual discernment. So I know when somebody's bluffing, and I believe this study, 7 minutes a pastor prays. 7 minutes. Was there 24 hours in a day? 8 hours we sleep. If we're blessed, I guess, get 8 hours. Some of us don't get that much some nights. And that adds up to, I don't know how many minutes. It's crazy. Hundreds and hundreds of minutes. But you only give 7 minutes to prayer? And then you look around and you're like, what's going on with us in America? Why is there such a decline in Christianity, a true Christianity? Why is there a decline in people reading their Bibles? Why is there a decline in people coming to our church? Where is the fire? Where is the Holy Spirit pour? True Holy Spirit pouring into people. See, when the Holy Spirit pours into people, it doesn't stop at that church. It spreads. It spreads from the workplace. What you'll see is, oh, I don't want to talk about God in the workplace because I might get fired. So you get fired, move on to the next job, proclaim the gospel until the end. Where's your boldness? Oh, you can proclaim on Sunday, but you live like the devil or a hidden Christian the rest of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Nobody can pick you up a lineup. But you could be an actor, right? Good actress. In the end, God's going to call you out. Think of that parable. That parable where they go to the highways. Oh, they go to the highways. Or, I'm trying to think, that parable was in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 1 through 14, and it deals with the marriage supper, right? It says the kingdom of heaven is like a certain man which made a marriage for his son, right? The kingdom of heaven and the marriage of son, of course, we can take that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who arranged the marriage. The king is God. His son is Jesus, right? And you can read on. It said, and sent forth his servants, called them that were bidden to the wedding. They could not come. Again, he went forth saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattings are killed, and all things are ready, come to them. But that is, when you're looking at that parable, there's a lot of things going on. First, he was speaking of the Jewish leaders at the time. They were already, this was the last of three parables that Jesus was giving to illustrate a point that was very critical for the Pharisees and Sadducees to get. And also, it was also a parable for those that are around to realize that what they were doing was not correct, and we have to make sure that we are dressed appropriate for the wedding. And it speaks of this man, that comes to the wedding, and he is not wearing the garment, the clothing. There is a condition to the wedding. Never let anybody tell you there's not a condition based on your salvation. There's too many scriptures out there that shows there is a condition. You have to be wearing the garment of God. God has to clothe you, right? That is being born again. That's the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But this man, he was not wearing. And when God called him out, he was speechless. And God will call us out in the end. And at that point, there is no, I'm going to get it right now, God. I know I was my this and this. Verse 13 in Matthew says this. And then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and feet, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he says, many are called, but few are chosen. And that parable, I kind of wasn't really planned to go into that. But Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. If you guys want to look at that parable, it's a parable that you should recognize. That and that last part is said, many are called, few are chosen. He uses that word few a lot, guys. I'll tell you, there's not as many people are going to heaven as people are projecting themselves. There's a lot of deception out there, lots of it. We have to be discerning. When we walk into a church, we need to get to that pastor. He is supposed to be the leader, and we need to ask him some questions. One question is, how do you define salvation? See, a lot of these guys, they're like, they got their secret service around them, guarding the pastors like they're royalty. They act like they don't want no questions, and you can't get and talk to them because, oh, heaven forbid, you question that guy. He can't answer what he stands for. The man of God should be prepared to answer any questions anybody throws at him. If you guys have any questions, y'all can email me. You can hit me on Facebook. If you see me in person, ask me a question. When I'm preaching after service, I encourage questions. I don't care if I have to be there all day. But man, it's amazing how people are so quickly wanting to leave church. It just blows my mind. A lot of deception. A lot of deception. See where I left off at, but that wasn't really part of it. But being under Satan's yoke, right? You see, I was getting a phone call there. You can't fool God. He sees you when you walk out them doors. He sees your heart. He's seen David's heart, and David's heart was broken. The thing is, not many people's hearts are broken over sin. They get home and they're like in life as usual, put on Netflix, Disney Plus, Hallmark Channel, wherever it may be, wherever you're, I'm going to just sit there, I'm going to watch this, my Bible's there, but nah, that's for Sunday. I don't care about studying the scriptures. When you're really moved by the Holy Spirit, when you really have a passion and a fire for God, you will spend hours of studying the Word of God. You will spend hours and hours in prayer. hours. Oh, I work a full-time job. I can't do that. I work a full-time job too. Get over yourself. Excuses. Excuses, excuses. Hell will be lined with many excuses. Stop. Look and listen. Man, that is important with life. When we come across something, stop. Look at it. And listen to the word of God before you react. Verse 3. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of the holy hill." Shalah. Stop. Look and listen. What is God telling us here? You see, even though David was experiencing the consequence of his sins, he did not lose perspective. You see, the Lord that was the Lord during that time is still the Lord of our time. Hebrews 13:8 says this, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Sin is still sin. The Old Testament sin is still sin in the New Testament. Murder is still sin. Adultery and fornication, sexual immorality, sleeping around before you're married is still a sin. Galatians 5:19-21 tells you that. Even looking on a woman while you're married is considered adultery. Do you know? And it's sad that divorce between professing Christians in America mirrors those in those that we would consider lost. They match. What's going on? When you're sitting there watching TV and you see an ad on TV or somebody walking by on the street and you have sexual images of that person and you're married, you commit adultery. Oh, that won't buy. Oh, you're getting too graphic in church. Oh, we don't want to hear it. I'll tell you, they're teaching our young kids in school about sex at the age of in second and third grade. They're teaching them about sex and we're sitting there letting them, and we got these teachers out there that are allowing that to happen. We got these teachers that don't have a backbone, but they can come to church and claim Jesus, right? But they can't stand up on the truth. They can't stand against evolution. They can't stand because evolution is a religion that said there is no God, so you support that. Oh, how porn is high in our churches, right? Oh, what filth we watch on TV. Oh, how we listen to the cursing and the stuff and don't even bat an eye. But oh, we're going to move God. You ain't going to move nothing. Keep practicing idolatry and witchcraft. Oh, Harry Potter, witchcraft. Oh, how your children love it, how they chant the Harry Potter movies, and our preachers allow that, and they laugh it off. So you're glorifying witchcraft and magic from Satan. Satanic church is growing faster than the Christian church. That is a reality. The witching covens are growing at record-breaking numbers. But what is all? We're going to make something happen. You ain't making nothing happen because you got sin in your life. We have to come to the realization that we are sinful. We have to come to the realization that we need to seek holiness and righteousness and true, right? We need to avoid witchcraft. Yeah, but it's tough, right? Oh, but we're going to have a great revival, right? Everywhere. Where are we truly reviving? All sin. Lying is a sin, even a white lie. Oh, how many people tell their kids there is a sin and laugh about it. That is a lie. Period. You will hear pastors sitting there justifying that, encouraging that. Why it's a lie and they can't justify it in the Bible. They can't give you scriptures to justify it, but they're going to proclaim it anyway. Oh, you're the problem. Oh, have you lost your eyes for Jesus? Have you lost the Holy Spirit? Oh, you struggle with your life. Oh, the holiness, the nature of God. He tells us those who don't practice it, that don't portray it, that don't seek it, that don't repent of their sins. Galatians 5 said they will not inherit the kingdom of God. David, sexual immorality and murder and cover up. See, Nathan had to point it out. David drove David to his knees. Oh, repentance broke him. That's what sin should do to us. It should break us. It should shatter us. I love this verse here. It says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." Oh, a shield. I love spiritual warfare and all the armor of God, how I pray over it every morning. To put on the armor of God. And part of that is the shield of faith. Shield is a protection. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says this. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In the power of his might. We have power in the presence of the Lord. But we will not have power if we're practicing sin. We'll have a power, all right, but it won't be from God. When we're doing God's will, He will increase our strength. He will give us power to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes and the crafty traps of the devil. Do not think the devil is some joke. And you guys, if you heard me preach or follow me anytime on this podcast, I'll tell you, Adam, Eve, I believe were the smartest people that ever exist. They, when God created them, they did not have the curse on them, meaning they could use full capacity of their brain, meaning they could use 100%. Now you can Google and find out how neurologists will look at and tell you how they think people, how people process the mind, the memories, and that they don't believe that we can even access 10% of our brain. So we're accessing less. But Satan was able to deceive Adam and Eve. Never don't think you're not being deceived. The best way to find out that you're not being deceived is to test everything. Everything. With the word of God, it blows my mind when I look at people and I start questioning things and I'm testing it with the word of God and they get all angry. Oh, don't mess with God's anointing. I ain't looking at God's anointing. I'm looking at Satan's anointing. The wiles of the devil, the craft, he is smart, he is intelligent. It's only through the word of God and through the memorizing of scripture and clinging to the word of God that through the Holy Spirit by using scriptures that we know that we're walking in the will and that we can stand, strong against the wiles of the devil. Right? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And then it goes into the whole armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, having your breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking that shield of faith, wherein ye also be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So here's David. He's taking that shield of faith, right? Got shield, that guard. Knowing, I know you are Lord. I know I sin against you, but you are my shield. And I will believe that you will have me because I repented of my sin. And I know I have to go through this, but you are my shield. You are my strength, right? Beautiful. We should stand on that truth, the shield. You see, when we know our position in God, and we take our shield of faith, and all the things that are going on in our life, and some of us do sin, and that conviction, that chastisement, because of sin in our life, that does happen. There is consequence to sin. But repentance and getting back into a relationship with God brings comfort. It brings that joy of your salvation. It brings that peace that passes all understanding. And see, this is what David was speaking of. And we still have that today. We can still have that shield when we're going through things that we might have brought on ourselves. I'm a prime example. I did many things in my life that I have to suffer the consequence. I had to suffer the consequence of that sin. Not much anymore. I got that point. That lesson was learned. But it was painful. And I thank God for that lesson. And lessons. Because it opened my eyes to a lot of falsehood, especially going on in the church today. And where God can use me to reach those, many won't be reached. In a sense, maybe through me, but maybe through somebody else. Maybe it may take God breaking them to the, shattering into a million pieces, and they start studying the scripture like they should. Maybe they have to hate me to look at the scriptures a little bit harder. That's fine. We are getting close to an hour here, so we're going to wrap it up. What we'll do is next week, Lord willing, we'll look at verse 4. Actually, we will probably still be verse 3 and verse 4. And we're going to look at those scriptures, and we will see how far we can get. We'll see how far we can get on that. Hopefully we can wrap it up. So, in closing, message in kind of a, I guess, well, not really a sentence, but message tonight is, David was going through things in his life because of the sin that was in his life. I'm going to tell you guys, unrepented sin, unconfessed sin is devastating. And you know, if you have it in your life, if you're truly a Christian, the Holy Spirit that lives inside you will correct you, will chasten you, will scourge you. When we look at scourging, that is a powerful word. And last week we looked at the scourging part of that. It's hard. I don't know anybody that can physically go through a scourging and survive. A Roman scourging. So if you're under a scourging just a day, that will drive you to repentance. I promise you. You won't be able to keep living that life in open sin. You won't say, oh, I'm a homosexual, you know, I'm a Christian homosexual, and I'm living openly in my life of sin. You won't be a female pastor and saying, oh, I'm violating scripture. And you are violating scriptures, by the way, because you cannot make, you can, I don't care how the world wants to view that. And the problem is when the world starts viewing you as okay, I'll rank you right with a homosexual pastor. You're violating God's scriptures. I know that's rough. I know you don't want to hear it. But it's what it is. God did not ordain or does not want women to be pastors in a church. It's clear in the scriptures. Clear. There's women can do many other things. Sin is sin. I call that the Eve spirit, to want to exert their authority over man. Sin is sin. Unconfessed, unrepentant sin will destroy you, will lead you, and eventually could even take your life. And David was feeling this sin, but this is the thing, sin should drive you to repentance, and that's where it drove David, and that's where it should drive us to repentance, to confession, to say, Lord, I know I sinned against you. I know I sinned. I lay it all, and he will forgive you. But we may have to live with that consequence of that sin. Don't think there's not a consequence of that sin. But the thing is, even in that consequence of that sin, which can be very painful, God will not abandon us. He will still be our shield. He still will guide us. He will still direct us. And as one thing you will learn about David that we should learn, David did not repeat that sin. Once he repented of that sin, he did not do it again. We can take a lot of lessons to that. How many times we repent of a sin, we go right back and do it again. People can be very hard on David. But I promise you, you should probably be a lot harder on yourself. And being busy, right? Satan can keep us busy. Keep us doing everything except doing what we need to be doing. More praying, more studying, flipping the TV off, flipping whatever device that may be distracting us, and tuning into the Word of God, tuning into the Spirit of God, seeking Him for hours, 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 fasting and praying. Oh, yes, let's fast. Oh, not many people are doing that today because they don't want to. They don't want to kill the flesh. They don't want to deny the flesh. They don't want to crucify the flesh. But oh, they want to make a difference. Oh, it's not until we lay there and we kill our flesh, not because of us, but because of the Holy Spirit, and we crucify it. We deny ourselves daily. We have to deny ourselves daily, guys. Are we? Are we stopping, looking, listening? Shallah, right? Shallah. We need to quit being so busy. We need to turn our eyes to the true King. We need to focus our eyes and hours of reading our Bibles and studying the Word of God and seeking His matter. I promise you, when you go into your room and you study truly for hours and hours, and you put us on worship music and praise, and you just get in the Spirit and you're reading through the Word of God and you're letting all the distractions disappear and you're studying the Word of God. When you're fasting, when you're, oh man, there's a travail there. There's a brokenness there. But I don't think many people are doing that. I'm not with that person all the time. I don't know. I don't know their hearts. I don't know what they're doing behind closed doors. All I can tell you, when I'm seeing somebody misquoting scriptures, something's not right in their lives. They're seeking the Bible as a secondary proof text to prove something that is not biblical. They're taking things out of contents and blowing them up. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to seek you. Breathing in and breathing out the Word of God. Knowing is through you, through the Spirit working in us, that we can walk a life that is pleasing and honorable to you. Lord, I pray that our hearts are broken, that we are humble to you, Lord. Do what you have to do to break us. Do what you have to do to humble us. Lord, correct us, chasten us, scourge us to get on the path. Let us seek that love that you have, and that long-suffering you have, that gentleness, that temperance, that goodness, that meekness, Lord, that joy, that peace, Lord. And faith, let us, our walk be more focused on the Spirit and less in the flesh, Lord. Let our eyes be focused on you and not the thing of this world, Lord. You'll find when we focus more on you, we worry less about Marvel and Disney and all these other satanic shows. Our eyes are more focused on what you need us to do. Our eyes are more focused when we're at work to reach somebody with the gospel, even our worker, our supervisor, or whoever, with the gospel. That person that walks in that door, we get that urge to tell them about God. Or at school as a teacher, we get that urge to tell that little kid about God, or how evolution is not correct. Oh, the boldness that's missing in our schools, it sickens me. The boldness within our pulpits, it sickens me. The watered down gospel producing lukewarm and different converts. Say this prayer, you're saved, and go. You don't have to do nothing else. Oh, they don't know they're walking into a spiritual war, a spiritual battle with the enemy. Oh, how they are not prepared to soldier up. Oh, the war can get graphic. The war can leave you on the ground. But we know where our strength comes from. We stand within your strength, Lord. We put on the whole armor of God, Lord. Our loins girded with the truth of the gospel. Oh, the truth. How you are the truth. You are the foundation, Lord. Oh, let's put the breastplate of righteousness, not ours, but yours. Because ours is just filthy rags to a holy God. It is used tampons, filth. Only your righteousness, Lord. Oh, how we must decrease so you can increase. Let your name rise above ours. Oh, how we glorify you instead of ourselves. Drop our pride, Lord. Oh, Lord. Let our feet be shown in the preparation. Oh, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, let's have that peace, Lord. Let's put the helmet of salvation that protects our mind, Lord. Oh, the mind is what the devil wants. Oh, how he just goes in there and floods us with thoughts. But you tell us we take these thoughts captive to your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we submit and we surrender, right, to you, Lord, and we stand in your presence. He will flee, Lord. Oh, let us pick the shield of faith and rise above. Oh, the flaming darts that Satan will hit us with every day. Oh, we stand in your faith, Lord. They will bounce off. Oh, this defensive faith. Oh, this faith that is strong, Lord. Oh, this faith that's missing in a lot of churches. Oh, Lord. Let's take the sword, the word of God, Lord. Let us sharpen it daily. Let it be so sharp it cuts butter. Let our prayer, our petition, our supplication, Lord, let our life be a life of prayer. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's seek your face. Let's rip the heavens, Lord. Oh, we're missing that. Oh, that anointing when a man of God walks in the pulpit and hearts break because of the sin in their life. Oh, we're missing that. Oh, we want a revival. But are we really ready for a revival? What does it mean? Oh, to beside ourselves, to be different, to live a life that's different. Oh, how we want to blend in and conform to this world and claim Christianity. Oh, you tell us to be separate. Be ye separate, for you are. The love of this world is enemy against you, is hate. Oh, we cannot serve two masters. We will love one, hate the other. Oh, how we want to be in the middle ground. Oh, it feels so good. Be loved by the world. Lord, I pray that you give us strength to endure was about to hit America. Oh Lord, we pray. America is about to fall. And great will be its fall. It will rattle. It will shake. Because it chooses not to put God back in government, back in the church, oh, back in our schools. Oh, how evolution has become the God, and we have allowed it. I know if your people would humble themselves, but I just don't know, Lord. Are we too far gone? I pray that I'm not correct. I pray there's hope for America. But when I look, I just don't see it. God, I pray that you be with us as we walk out these doors tomorrow. That you guide us and you direct us in your path to reach those with the gospel. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was a pretty heavy. Wouldn't you think it'd be heavy for a Psalm 3, right? And we only got to, this is second part, and we only got to, verse 2 and 3. Well, 1, 2, and 3. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at verse 3. Remember, there will be a little overlap, but you have to listen to these series together. Psalm 3, first part was last week. Today is the second. Next week, Lord willing, that will be the third part. So they have to be listened together to get the full meaning of this preaching series on Psalm 3. And if you miss Psalm 1 and 2, they're still on the on this page. They haven't moved them to the archives yet. But you can also go to the archives. I have the messages that God have laid on my heart last year or two are all in the archives. The goal is to preach through all the Psalms. I got a feeling it's probably going to be a long preaching series. Archiving these Psalms as the Holy Spirit writes them out, maybe compose them and put them in a book one day. But as you guys listen, I pray that if you have any questions, please contact me on Facebook, or you can, best is through my website. Honestly, Facebook regulates me. I have thought about even getting off of Facebook, be honest with you, period. Removing myself from Facebook. But I won't do that until I can get some other platforms open, and maybe YouTube, and maybe an app. I'm trying to work on developing an app to be able to put on Apple. So have an app available, and then going through the website, and maybe some stuff like they got a bunch of other things I was looking at. All right, love you guys. Y'all have a good night.